You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Ben Barrett in the presenter's chair again. I'm delighted to say that I've been joined by Kate Tracy from the William Hill Racing Radio Studio. How are you, Kate?
I'm really well, thank you. Yeah, enjoying a good jumpers bumpers card at the minute at Wolverhampton, and I feel like I've been up all day today, so I got up early for the Tyson Fury for the fight.
Tough or stayed up through the night?
No, got up.
Set the alarm early.
Yeah.
It was impressive.
Really impressive.
We've got to get the AJ fight now, right?
I know.
We've got to.
Arguably one of the greatest fights of all time if we get that now.
Would sell out Wembley Stadium in about 4 seconds flat. Could sell it out five times over, probably.
Yeah, exactly. I know those tickets will be impossible to come by should this happen, and all roads lead to that, hopefully. So, yeah.
If either Tyson Fury or Anthony Joshua is a subscriber to the Daily Racing Podcast, we have spoken. Please make it happen sooner rather than later. You've been on the radio today with Alistair Jones and our debutant presenter, Lucy Hughes. Have you been in good form between the three of you, picking a few winners?
We have, actually, surprisingly, because I was saying beforehand, I was a bit concerned today because I've never had to tip a jumper's bumper before.
Okay.
And I had no idea prior what I was going to be looking for, most importantly.
Yeah.
So kind of went into any sort of flat pedigree, bumper form, sort of distances. And it's actually worked out, between the pair of us, it's worked out pretty well. So it's been good, and we've had some good races as well today. And they sort of come out more or less as we expected, with a few exceptions. So it's been a good day so far.
Well, you mentioned the stuff that has been okay today. We have had three graded races. Let's rattle through those. We'll start over in Ireland at Naas. The 2:10 contest, the grade three, was won by Any Second Now at 3-1, beating the favourite Articulum into second. Any Second Now has been shortened quite considerably for the Grand National in April. What did you make of that performance?
Yes, I didn't expect that really from Any Second Now. I had it in my head beforehand going into this race that this was probably going to be a bit of a pipe opener looking ahead to the National and maybe save his price a little bit. But he won really impressively, and considering it was far short of his optimum trip over 2 miles, but he was able to still quicken away. And nowadays in a Grand National, you need a horse that has pace as well as out and out stamina.
Yeah.
And he clearly has shown by winning over 2 miles today that he has pace as well as the stamina. And it was definitely a positive, but also a negative in terms of the prices now, because obviously he's going into Aintree in cracking form.
Yeah.
He jumped so well throughout, showed that he had plenty of scope when he had to go long at a few. And it was a real genuine performance, because there were some good horses in behind him there. In Articulum, who was third, obviously, in the Arkle last year, in Hardline, and Cadmium as well. So it was definitely no fluke of a win. And all roads lead to Liverpool.
Indeed, we haven't even got through Cheltenham Festival yet, and we have already got anti-post thoughts with regards to the Grand National. Any Second Now has moved into 12-1 for the Aintree Masterpiece come early April. Obviously, we've got Cheltenham Festival prior to that as well, and there were a few clues and bits and pieces on horses that happened today as well. The 3:10 at Naas, Jason the Militant beat Andy Dufresne relatively comfortably in the end. 25-1 the winner. Andy Dufresne, 6-5 favourite, back in third. An upset in terms of the odds. How did you see the race panning out?
Yeah, it was an interesting race, really, because admittedly, Andy Dufresne, I've always thought, is better over further than 2 miles. And obviously today was still over 2 miles that he won over last time out as well at Punchestown. And it just struck me that it still was a bit too short for him. That, again, I doubt we will be seeing him over 2 miles again. In Ireland, they can fluctuate between their trips far more than we do over here. We're very set on a horse's trip. But taking it back to 2 miles. He looked like he was just sort of getting rolling. Then he made a mistake at the last, and whatever potential chance he had, that completely paid to any of that, at least anyway. But Jason, the Militant, and Beacon Edge, they were both had a complete set two at the end, and there was really, well, clearly there was nothing in it. It was only a nose in it at the end, and they were sprinting away at the line. So it was impressive from both of those two. Mount Leinster obviously was in there as well. Yet again, he travelled like the best horse in the race. He was hard on the bridle, the last one to come off the bridle, and yet again, his race, his finish just managed to plateau once he was off of the bridle. So clearly he is the workhorse we all know he is, and that kind of is about it, really. So yeah. I think he's had his Derby day now, so that made sense. But yeah, Andy Dufresne, I think I do also just feel that one eye, considering he's missing Cheltenham, that was announced, is on his chasing career for next season, because he's a big horse. Generally, he jumps very well, just slightly missed the last this day. And I just get the impression he's probably missing Cheltenham because they want to save him for where he's going to be at his best, which is over fences next season. So I wouldn't be too disheartened about that. But obviously, he's a hype horse massively that everyone expects magical things off of him. And this still isn't yet in his sphere that he's going to excel in. So I hope people keep overlooking him for next season, because then it will be bigger prices for me.
Exactly. Good idea. I like that. Another short price, warm favourite at least, that got turned over in a graded race was at Fontwell. The National Spirit Hurdle was a grade two at 3.20. William Henry getting the better of Kel Destan and the favourite Thomas Darby. It was a cracking finish to the 3.20. Thomas Darby and Kel Destan looked to be going head to head, and then William Henry came out of the clouds and pipped both of them at the post.
Throws down a challenge. The two of them, however, are now 8 to 10 lengths clear as they race towards the second last. Thomas Darby in the noseband, Kel Destan in the green sleeves, and Kel Destan jumped it better and has taken the lead for the first time. Kel Destan on the run down towards the last. Thomas Darby in second place. They remain clear of William Henry, Monsieur Lecoq, and Chesterfield. Kel Destan down towards the final flood of hurdles. Runs down it to the right. Still has the lead. In second is Thomas Darby. William Henry making late gains in third, but still with 6 to 7 lengths to find. Thomas Darby's coming back at Kel Destan, and William Henry's coming back at both of them. William Henry seemed to spit the dummy heading out on the final circuit, has picked up, got past Kel Destan, and Thomas Darby on the run to the line. William Henry, Nico de Boinville, persistence rewarded, gets up to beat Kel Destan and Thomas Darby in a race that changed complexion up the hill. Chesterfield fourth, and Monsieur Lecoq will walk across the line, last to five.
Yeah, it was a very typical Fontwell race. Fontwell is so idiosyncratic of a track in comparison to the other race courses, and especially on ground as it is today, it's so hard up the hill. And I do think it was more of a case that Kel Destan and Thomas Darby probably got racing and had their set to a bit early out, probably thinking each other were each other's biggest dangers, and because of that they just paid to each other's demise in the finish. Thomas Darby, I've never been a fan of him in a finish because of his head carriage.
Okay.
Obviously he's got a lot of ability, clearly abundances of, however, just when it really comes down to it, he never drops his head and really pushes through with the finish, and he was doing that again today. And I thought Kel Destan was really getting on top of him, who's such a likeable horse, and you forget he's still only 5 years old. But the fact that they had had a set two up the hill, it just left the door wide open for William Henry, who obviously in himself is so, so likeable of a horse. 10 years old now, obviously the Coral Cup winner from last year, and he was just able to outstay them up the hill. So whether you can read masses into it or whether it was because tactics played out is another thing. But another nice prize for William Henry. So if he's too big in the handicap now to go for any of the handicap hurdles again this year, well, they've won a nice prize at least anyway, so I wouldn't say they're too disheartened by that.
No, there was some discussion actually in the studio between Luke and Mark about where William Henry goes from that, because trying to go for back-to-back Coral Cups was on the card, and he was a good enough price anyway for that, 25 to 1. But now the 40 to 1 about the Stayers hurdle suddenly becomes part of the equation, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh, it'd have to, because I mean, he definitely, that was obviously 2-3 today, but he will stay even further than that. Yeah. Vivian being 10 years old, definitely. And he would have to come in from an each-way angle. Obviously, I think Paisley Park is probably the banker of the week for me. However, I only say, on the back of that, it's going to be hard to win a handicap off of what he's going to get put up. So you have to seriously consider a graded race for him come Cheltenham. So, yeah, I definitely wouldn't put that out of the equation at all.
So at time of recording, William Henry is 25 to 1 to win any race, 25-1 to win the Coral Cup and 40 to win the Stayers Hurdle. We do offer the Stayers Hurdle without Paisley Park. So betting for William Henry in that one is 40-1 also. So you're essentially getting the same price whether you include Paisley Park or not in that particular betting. That just about wraps up Sunday's action. Yesterday you were telling me you had a day on the sofa watching the racing. What took your fancy? What took your eye from yesterday's performances?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I actually had a Saturday to enjoy. I can't remember last time I got to watch ITV racing. I cannot remember. So it was lovely. I guess the obvious standout and the one, say, this weekend, obviously, we've got, three weeks to save a Triumph on the Friday then. And it really was going to take a horse to completely cement himself and to announce himself this weekend to really affect the betting. And a horse that did that in abundance was Solo.
Yeah.
And Solo came here. He was coming here with a big reputation. Obviously, it was his British debut, coming over from Guy Macaire's yard in France on the back of a really impressive win at Auteuil on his most recent start, and a second before that at the same venue, where he just sort of faded out of it that day, made a few mistakes and was a bit hampered. So he had his excuses, put the wrongs to right the next time out, and then he was so impressive in the Adonis. Fujimoto Flyer himself has a big reputation back in Ireland at the Emmett Mullins yard, if not a few quirks, but Solo was straightforward as just jumped brilliantly, looked fantastic in the prelims, looked fantastic afterwards. Obviously, he's still a colt by Capguard, and Capguards are generally very good-looking horses anyway. And Paul Nicholls wouldn't really have too many. Generally, he gels them straight away. So it's interesting he's kept him as a colt, but he clearly shows a good temperament. So why would you at this stage if he's pulling through with it? And obviously, we had a favourite going into the Triumph last year who was a colt in Sir Eric, which obviously horrendously unfortunate what happened to him, but we could have another colt going in with I think he's now currently favourite.
Yeah, 3-1 we have Solo at, just taking favouritism off Goshen at 4-1. Maybe a tiny bit early to start putting favourites into accumulators and whatnot, but alongside Paisley Park, that performance yesterday might be a little very early double to consider.
It could be. It could really easily be because it was so, so impressive. If not, but Goshen is very good and it has opened up for Aspire Tower, who I do also still like. But yeah, the Triumph is now shaping up quite nicely after people were thinking it wasn't going to be a great race. It's turning out really smartly now.
That's how we like it. Cheltenham Festival right around the corner. We end the chat about this weekend's racing, not with a horse, but with a person. Leighton Aspall hangs up the riding boots and the whip today. A quick word from you, Kate, on what has been just one of those really good, just honest jockey careers that will be remembered for a couple of key highlights.
So many, exactly. The dual Grand National wins. I mean, that's how he gets introduced to everybody, isn't it?
Yes.
Lash, he just... And he will always be remembered as that when he's retired. And he absolutely loves his racing. He's brilliant. He's as hard as nails. I mean, only recently he had both of his cheekbones operated on, hence why he's wearing the helmet without the cheek pieces in at the minute. And you wouldn't have even known. He is such a horseman, and it's just yet another retirement that of this kind of old guard that we're so used to and accustomed to seeing. And you can be safe with your money if you back them because they're so reliable as jockeys. They never get it wrong, never get the pace wrong, never get the tactics wrong. And always give you a run for it. So it's going to be such a shame to see him go, but at least he's going out again. It's cliche in itself, but it's so true. Going out on his own terms, on the back of some really nice wins recently. And I just hope he has a fantastic career post-retirement, which I'm sure he will be doing. So if it's not taking his daughters around Shetland Grand Nationals at Olympia and things, because that's the family's other part of interest that they all partake in. So he'll definitely have his hands full anyway.
That's how we like it. Now, I did a bit of rummaging before we came on the podcast, so I'm just now going to introduce our listeners to a bit of a bonus. I had to dug out the 2015 Grand National audio, which of course was won by Leighton and Many Clouds. So now, by the magic of some post-podcast editing, I bring you the final flight of the 2015 Grand National.
and it's Many Clouds in the colours of Trevor Hemmings who will lead at the final fence in the National. Lands three lengths clear. St. R chases him off towards the elbow. Shut the front door, back in third and now looking one pace. Monbeg Dude is staying on in fourth, then Royal Knight and Alvarado just over a furlong to go in the National. Many Clouds and Leighton Aspel four, maybe five lengths ahead of St. R. Monbeg Dude is still staying on stoutly as moved into third and then shut the front door. Many Clouds, St. R is trying to get on terms, cutting him back near the line. Many Clouds clinging on tenaciously from St. R in the colours of Trevor Hemmings. It's Many Clouds who wins the Crabbies Grand National. Leighton Aspel again, this time for Oliver Sherwood. St. R is second, Monbeg Dude is third, Alvarado fourth, AP bows out at the National in fifth place on Shut the Front Door. Then Royal Knight from Tranquil Sea, cause of course is Sol Charles de Roy. Pinot de Rey last year's hero got round from Montperrin, Ouiga Star and the rest.
So now we're going to have a little look ahead to Monday's racing, or should I say what's left of it. It sounds like a very British way to start this bit of a podcast, but this weather needs to call it a day now. We're all bored of it. Unfortunately, we have lost racing tomorrow from Ireland over at Fairy House and from the UK at both Plumpton and Carlisle. What it means is we're left with two all-weather cards at Southall and Wolverhampton. We will still have William Hill Racing Radio on Monday, of that there is no doubt. Darren Owen is in the presenter's chair and he's been joined by Will Smith, and another Aspel, Paddy Aspel, is also joining us on Monday. They'll be on air shortly before the first race, which at the moment is scheduled to go off at 2:05 p.m. from Southall. Kate, we've asked you to have a look at a couple of races and we've got one from each venue.
Yes, so the first one is going to be in the 4:10 at Southwell in the 1-mile 3 handicap, and it's New Girl in Town to take on the favourites.
Okay.
Now, Ger O'Leary, he doesn't really send horses over to the UK too often, but he did last week, and both of the horses he sent over won, and now he's sending New Girl in Town over as well as a horse later on in the 7:30 at Wolverhampton as well, and Adam Morris. So it's always interesting. You always have to take note if he does send a horse over here, and he's sending this filly over. She's making a quick reappearance after winning at Chelmsford, and that was only on Saturday, and she's coming back here to Southwell today on Fiver San Davy. So obviously that's going to be take a bit of getting whether or not, or a bit of guessing if she's going to take to the Fiver San. But I wouldn't have too many fears over that. She was a really nice winner. She led near the finish last time out over 1-mile 2, running on really nicely. So, and she just seems to be in good form. So I can see why they're striking whilst the iron's hot, whilst they're over here. And I just think to take on the favourite at the prices, considering the form she is in, then she would definitely be the one for me.
Aunt Helen is the favourite at 9-4. New Girl in Town is the selection at 9-2. Just to run down the rest of the card, it's 5-1 for Telekinetic. Maker is 6-1. Life Knowledge 13-2. Going Native 7-1. 11-1 for Dr. Jazz. Pageant Master 16-1. And we have a 28-1 outsider in Almontaza. New Girl in Town is the selection to take on the favourite in the 4:10 Southall, 1 mile, 3 furlongs, 23 all important yards on top as well. It's a class 6 handicap 0-55 race. We're going to scooch right to the very last race of Monday's action for the other preview. It's the 8 o'clock at Wolverhampton, 1 mile, 1.5 furlongs, another handicap class 6, 0-65 on this occasion. Before we get your selection, Kate, I'm going to run down the runners and riders here. 13 of them going to post. 2-1 for Beau Guest, Fair Power 7-2, 15-2 for Beat by Beat by Beat, Red Gunner 17-2, Embrace the Moment 9-1, 11-1 Double Reflection, Fox Shinji another 11-1 shot, as is Thori, Enzo's 14s, Iconic Code's 14s, 16-1 for Cheeky Rascal, Boba T is 33-1 and Totally Committed 40-1. Listeners, I can tell you that this race, the 8 o'clock at Wolverhampton, is one of our extra place races as well. It should be three places that we're paying, but so long as 12 or more stand their ground, four places will be offered instead of three at one-fifth of the odds. Now, we don't necessarily have to look for a bit of each-way value, but if there's something at a bigger price you like, Kate, let's talk about him or her now. In the meantime, what's your selection?
The selection is going to be Bo Guest.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, for Tony Carroll, who has massively improved from moving to Tony Carroll's and is actually unlucky not to have had three wins on the board since moving over here. And the only race it hasn't won on was when he was second at Kempton in a handicap and only beaten a neck there as well. And but that was all a very bunch finish, close finish. But it was very impressive last time out over course and distance. Came from not an ideal position at all and still managed to win, running on strongly to win by a length. And that was under Holly Doyle as well. Admittedly, that race was probably not as strong as this race that he's going to be facing today. However, I just think the form he's in, Tony Carroll seems to have eked out a lot better performances in him than he was showing in Ireland. And I think that he's definitely on an upwards curve still. And he can definitely get another win on the board in this race.
Bo Guest, 2-1 favourite, decent little form line as well, 1-2-1. Holly Doyle on board for Tony Carroll. Everything apart from the top two in the betting is virtually an each-way price. Beat by beat by beat, a course and distance winner. Winner last time out, 15-2. Red Gunner, I know he's in Luke Elder's trackers. I know Red Gunner will be on Luke Elder's each-way selections tomorrow at 17-2. Is there something at a slightly bigger price that you might think, well, actually, now that four places is on offer, there's something else there?
Yeah, I actually, at a fairly big price him, because I'm trying to go for as big as I can, would be Cheeky Rascal.
Okay.
Number 9 horse there. Yeah, he's shown some decent form recently. He is 0-29 on the flats, however. So I think that some at the top of the market will be a bit too good for him to actually get the win. However, at the prices, with the form that he's currently been showing, and probably most notably his best run to date was on the 30th of December at Lingfield, where he's only a head second in a handicap over 1.2 miles. And he was just headed the final strides there, and Enzo was actually ahead behind him that day, and Enzo is a shorter price at present in this race here. So if you take him on that form, and he did continue that into his two most recent runs, then at the prices, he would definitely be the each way on for me, considering the places being paid out.
Four places available, as we've said. Cheeky Rascal gets the nod of approval as a bit of a long price for that particular race. Well, that brings us to the end of Sunday's Racing Podcast. Kate, thank you ever so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm going to go and have a lie down because I feel like I've been up for about 20 hours.
Thanks ever so much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.